This is the ant. Treat it with respect, for it may very well be the next dominant life form of our planet.
They're hurting us like cattle.
This is FilmSack.
Sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 132, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight is Brian, an obligatory response Dunaway.
All right, the way I see it. We have three choices to avoid being brainwashed by the giant ants. One, fight the humans under the control of the giant ants. Just a little reminder, they do have guns. Two, burn the giant controller ant in the gas chamber with this flare I have stuck down my pants, which think the gods has not gone off and charred my man parts. Or three, hold our breath for 5 seconds and walk straight out the front door. Flare? Okay, going with the flare.
Nicely done. Randy, what do you got here to start us off? Sorry, I got to give you the name, nickname. Yeah. It's Randy Larry, you bastard Jordan. Larry.
Aloha, Brian, Scott. This week on FilmSack, I just have to sit down and make myself comfortable and get you all right in front of me and look you in the eye and say, I hate you. I hate you so much. It's been a long, wonderful journey up till this point. Uh-huh. But at this point, after this week, I hate you.
But it's giant ants! All right, finally, bringing up the rear. Brian, careful, that queen will fart in your face, Ibbit.
Not what that was.
Just hold your breath for 5 seconds. Right. Hello, Tattoo. Who do we have coming to Fantasy Island this week? We've got an old couple whose fantasy is taking advantage of the free food. True. We've got the sleazy womanizer whose fantasy it is to pin women up against a tree and try to make out with them. And we've got a Hispanic couple whose fantasy it is to walk out of here with free PVC pipe. PVC pipe, the natural enemy of the ant.
Good.
Well, what was the stats? It was like they said 1 out of 3 people aren't here for the reels. Just take advantage.
Just there for the free food.
Wrong. Right. All out of people are there take advantage.
It's usually 10 out of 10, and then it's just a matter of who feels the most guilty about leaving without signing something.
Right.
Yes, it's Jurassic Park. I'm sorry. It's Empire of the Ants, who had a very similarly weird kind of similar story to Jurassic Park, if you think about it.
I mean, it had a Unix system and Samuel Jackson. Yeah. It was just like it.
Hang on to your butts. All that stuff. let's let Scott Fletcher explain more about this film in gruesome detail.
Empire of the Ants. Vacationers on an isolated island find themselves at the mercy of voracious ants when a toxic spill turns the pests into rampaging radioactive reprobates. Stumbling into the ants' creepy lair, a sleazy land developer, played by Joan Collins, and her clients are horrified to realize that the ants are having a human picnic. Seems these bugs are hell-bent on exterminating mankind and taking over the island. Can anyone stop them?
All right. I like the tone this week.
That was totally different than usual. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's kind of sexy. I ain't going
to
lie.
Been looking forward to this one because I've said in previous episodes, and I'll say it again, I will watch any movie that features big, giant versions of things we think are creepy, like snakes, ants, cobras. That's a snake.
Frogs.
Let's call you on that. Were you like a first in line guy for snakes on a plane?
No. I was sick of hearing about this on the internet. You guys are all crazy guy. Snakes on a plane. I still haven't seen Snakes on a Plane. The internet buzz around that bothered me so much because at first I was like, yeah, dude, get these mother effing snakes off there. I'm all in. And then slowly but surely I started to realize we are being manipulated as a, I'm standing up to the man now. We are being manipulated by the internet and those who would drive us to see a movie because they think they're going to get all viral on us and it's pissing me off. And so I didn't see it.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't buy it.
That's too bad.
Well, that movie's not good either. People have said anyway. The general response to that movie wasn't that great.
That movie's not good?
I'm not saying that movie's not good compared to this. I'm not in any kind. I haven't seen it, so I can't say anything. But I'm saying the reviews for it weren't that great. Most people were like, "Eh, it was all right," and it didn't do the ticket sales I thought it would. So now they don't do that anymore. Have you noticed that? Nobody does big viral internet bullcrap to us anymore because we don't go out in the numbers they need. So they don't do it anymore. That's a whole different topic for a different day, but it's always bugged me just a little bit that that's a thing.
What gets in Scotch Crawl this week on FilmSack?
Definitely, dude. That totally drives me nuts. But this I was looking forward to because giant ants attack people. That's all you need to tell me about a movie like this. And I get excited because it means it's old. 77, this came out. It's not that old, but old, you know, oldish. I mean, it's weird to think this came out a year after. No, the same year as Star Wars, right? Yeah, yes, same year. Year after. Same year.
Same year.
It feels like it was in a different decade. Like, it's just totally not even the same thing. It should have been like 72 or something. Right. And it's giant ants, and it's attacking people on an island, and they're all stereotype, you know, the worst people. They're the worst white people ever.
This is a different take on frogs.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Right down to the, we have a motorboat. We're going to go zipping through the Everglades.
We're going motorboating.
Yeah, that was all in there. Written and directed by, well, not written by, but screenplayed by Burt I. Gordon, who was born in 1920 something, is still with us.
Right, at least, and based on H.G. Wells.
Yeah, H.G. Wells' story, I guess, about this whole thing, which I've never, you know, you always hear that, and you go, oh, H.G. Wells, oh, yeah, it's a science fiction of the guy. I don't think I've ever read an H.G. Wells story. I've certainly seen films based on his work. I saw that, never read it.
Right.
So I don't know how the story holds up. If we read the story of Empire of the Ants.
No, it's very loosely based.
But The Time Machine, The Invisible Man, The Island of Dr. Moreau, really?
I've seen them all, not read
one
of them.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah, never read a single book.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know why I haven't. There was never a school assignment. There was never a compelling reason. If I was looking for something to read when I was in my teens, it was comic books or Lord of the Rings. I just didn't.
I'm with you. The H.G. Wells books, I read them only because I did not like not knowing the references to which things were coming from. Yeah. Were they the greatest, most compelling books? They were interesting. They had some good ideas, but
I was never like. Was that War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know they were good, but they're not like page turners to me. They were good. So I'm not surprised Scott hasn't read these.
It just wasn't a thing when I was growing up for some reason. I would actually be kind of interested in reading some of this now, but right. I wouldn't know where to start. Like, what's the best one to pick up?
84 would probably be the 84. Best and most most well recognized.
Will it bother me the whole time that 84 came and went and looked nothing like he said it would? Because I hate that in books.
You'd be like,
wow, this seems a lot like the Apple commercial.
Right.
It is a lot like that. What's going on? And we've talked on the show before how we don't really like movies that have a specific year in mind, and then that year comes. Right. So you want to make sure, like Star Trek's smart. They're like, 24th century. You're never going to get there.
We don't care if it doesn't come true 400 years from now. We go long gone.
Yeah.
The good thing about 1984 is it's so far in our past now that it seems like an alternate timeline, less than a miscalculation. It just seems like a totally different universe.
Yeah. Fair enough. but giant ants. Back to this giant ants, everybody.
I got giant ants in my pants.
And that was H.G. Wells versus George Orwell. Just to.
Oh, thank you, nerd.
Clear it up.
Jeez.
What did we say?
Such a nerd.
Well, sorry. I mean, H.G. Wells, George Orwell, Ray Bradbury.
Sure. Those guys.
Isaac Asimov.
It was that
It's either me or Merritt calling you on this. Which would you prefer?
All right, you'll do fine. You'll do fine.
Musgrove.
All right. So I'm gonna say for those last week who thought I was done playing that clip, sorry.
That was so much fun.
Joan Collins, Robert Lansing, and John David Carson all starring in this. Those last two guys you don't know because no one knows them. But Joan Collins, she was a thing. She walked around Mayberry with Captain Kirk once. And was on Dynasty. And what else did she do? She do anything else of note?
That was her big thing was Dynasty.
Yeah.
Right. But like I said, she did some pretty interesting films during the 70s as well. She did, I was talking about this, is there's I think it's a British version of Tales of the Crypt. Mm. And she was in that. And she did, it was a fantastic little short.
She's cute. That's the other thing I like about her.
Yeah, she looked fantastic in this
she's
movie.
She's pretty.
Before she got weird.
Yeah, she did kind of get weird.
Didn't she play Fred Flintstone's mom in the? Oh no, never mind. That was Elizabeth Taylor.
H.G. Wells.
Aren't they kind of though? Isn't she kind of the? Isn't she sort of the weird doppelganger person you always get confused? It's like we do that with certain actors, but she is. I always think of her when I'm thinking of Elizabeth Taylor. I get them mixed up too. Mm. It's easy to.
Yeah, I can see that
because she's like the cheap knockoff version of her. Like if you, what's another good example of that? And I can't think of one.
And I can't, I'm all done.
I can't think of one at all. So forget it. I can't think what that would be. So I'll move on. Robert Lansing plays the boat driver guy, and he's kind of cool and gruff and nice. I liked him. He was all right. As a promotional gimmick, the theaters that first aired this film would display actual ant farms in their lobbies.
Ooh. Like that makes it worse.
It does, doesn't it? There were two pieces of trivia in this thing. That's all they had on IMDb. That and inspiration for the phrase, I for one welcome our new insect overlords, according to someone somewhere says that's where the Simpsons got the idea to make that joke. Ken Brockman said that. That's what they say. Again, not verifiable, stupidest trivia ever. So I threw one in here. Larry, the douchebag that Brian was talking about in his intro, Ibbot there, was the police captain on Chips. There's some real trivia for you. Remember that guy?
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
Like, where's Ponch and John? I need to get to the bottom of this. And that was the guy. He was the guy from Chips. All right.
Now, there was a John Goodman movie.
True story.
You bringing up the ant farms reminds me of a John Goodman movie from the mid-90s where he was a director or maybe a movie house publicist or something like that where they have a giant ant movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's a great movie. It's really fun and it's set in like the 40s.
Is it? Okay, so it's not at all related to this.
No, but well, it's fake. I mean, that's a fictitious thing, meaning it's not some story about a director who was inspired by this movie, but the thing was set in the 40s and he was making like schlocky horror.
Right. I'm scrolling back to see if I can find it. But
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
It was real good. I like John Goodman in general.
Matinee.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes. See Matinee, everybody.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would recommend that.
Also, film promoter releases a kitschy horror film during the Cuban Missile Crisis, but it's all about giant ants and...
wait a minute. Yeah, okay.
And it's in black and white, isn't it?
Yes, that is... wait, hold on. Yeah, yes, that whole thing's in black and white. You're right.
I'm afraid to say anything getting H.G. Wells and Orson Welles mixed up.
You know what?
I got to fact check before I do anything.
I was doing a filmography best tomato rating to worst tomato rating for John Goodman. This is when you know movies aren't good. We start talking about John Goodman. he's got some really great movies under his belt. So his best rated film of all time is The Artist, which you guys all saw and I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
Not The Big Lebowski.
No. The Big Easy. Well, these are movie ratings, not him being rated.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Or
Monsters, Inc., Sweat Dreams, Argo, Matinee's number...
What? Sweat Dreams?
Yes. Sweet. I meant
Sweet Dreams.
Sorry.
I liked it.
I don't know what Sweat Dreams or Sweet Dreams
Sweet Dreams, 1985. I don't know what that even is. Something called Argo, 93 Matinee, 1990 Anacrophobia is 91%.
Arachnophobia.
91 arachnophobia. What'd I say?
I
thought I said it right. Barton Fink. So now we're getting to Coen Brothers territory. 91 Raising Arizona. 87 Paranorman, which just came out. The Emperor's New Groove, that's great. Sea of Love and Princess and the Frog. I'm not seeing any. Oh, Lebowski way down here at 80%.
Wow. 1998. That's
crazy. Dude, I remember when Lebowski came out, the critics didn't love it. It was kind of a slow burn.
Right, yeah, but right.
It's one of the best
so
ever.
So loved today that people, you think that people going in there and adjusting their Rotten Tomatoes rating would mark it higher.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? 77%. Just below that, Revenge of the Nerds, 74.
Oh, God, yeah.
But anyway, the guy's got some work under his belt. His worst rated film of all time?
Where's King Ralph in there?
Hold on.
Oh, forgot about King Ralph. Is that streaming? God, we got to watch
King
that.
Ralph, 20% for King Ralph.
It's not his worst. What's his worst?
Worst is 0% for Kronk's New Groove.
Oh, really? That wasn't
some
that
direct
bad.
DVD thing.
What? Yeah. Saw that?
The dirty,
yeah,
dirty work.
All that stuff.
God, see that. Really?
I used to watch. I used to. We were like obsessed with that for a while. Emperor's New Groove. Anything that was,
I thought Emperor's New Groove was great. The first
the TV
one.
Series.
The
all
show
of it.
Sucked, but the movie was great.
Really, you didn't like the show?
No.
The show was fantastic.
The TV show thing.
The shows are never good. In fact,
and no, that was a direct.
Now that there's a how to, because we've mentioned on the show a bunch of times that How to Train Your Dragon is a favorite here. I know at least Randy really likes it. So do I. They're making a sequel, which is fine. But they also have some TV show on the Disney Channel with like half-assed animation, and it looks like crap. And I don't like it when they do this. Oh, yeah. Not Disney. It's like somewhere else, but bugs me. Anyway, Chud, 18%. We are going to watch Chud soon, so.
Chud.
What movie did we see? Oh, Empire of the Ants.
We need a description of this film. Like, we need the rundown of this movie.
All right. So people are, okay, Joan Collins has a bunch of land on a crappy island, and she wants to unload it. So she takes a bunch of people there, kind of like if you're going to like a timeshare meeting.
Timeshare, yeah.
Yeah. So you go to this thing, and or they all go to this island, and they go on a boat, and they're all just the douchiest, most like just horrible, complainy, awful white people.
They're all right. They're all very much
just into themselves, and just
yeah. It's the '70s, and people are all about themselves. This is the late '70s, and it's kind of a reflection of society at the time. So. I think it's spot on as far as that goes.
Just disenfranchised with everything.
Right.
Everyone's either divorced or half divorced. It's just blah.
Or trying to get divorced.
And they spend way too much time setting these people up. It's like, I get it. I got that he's a douche. You don't have to keep. Let's get some giant ants in here. You know?
The thing that really bothered me the most about this movie, you just talked about the setup. And that's what they kept doing throughout this entire movie. Everybody had to be a couple. So everybody had, if they weren't already a couple, but when they started this adventure, like the Love Boat, they had to be a couple by the end.
Yeah,
so
like the Love Boat. Good call.
Right. So when someone gets hurt or dies or is in danger, you have a genuine feeling and genuine gauge of how you should feel for the character dying.
Yeah.
And it's very weird.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's also weird. They like frogs. It would be a lot of blah, 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 yappity, yappity, yap. And then they'd walk away. And then a view from the forest would be the view of the ants going like this. Right. And they would do that for 5 minutes. And you go, okay, great. Yeah. But when am I going to see you?
Yeah. Now, wait, did you just pull that sound from frogs?
No,
or
that's
from ants?
This is from ants. This right here? That is from ants.
Because, I mean, we may as well get right to it. By far, the biggest complaint you've got to have about this movie is the sound effects.
Yes.
Right.
So irritating. The dogs, my dogs, hated this movie.
Right.
And they hated it a lot because as long as it took to get to it, that's all you heard for the whole half of it.
Leaving the room looking at me like, make that stop. And they'd walk out of the room.
And, you know, I was trying to figure out continuity because when the movie opens up, they explain to you, they give you this whole nature scene, kind of Mutual of Omaha overview of who the ants are, what each role is in each, you know, for each ant. So I was trying to figure out when they had different ants, I was trying to make sure that the continuity is right when they would have an ant on screen and he would have a particular sound or scream because each one of the ants seemed to have a different sound. Mm-hmm. I was trying to make sure they were doing their job and make sure they were making the right sounds.
Right. The queen was always like, ah!
Right.
The queen sounded like a lady.
It did. She screamed like a lady. And so I tried to check for continuity, but I couldn't always catch it. I just wasn't sure. I swear to you, that's what it sounded like.
Okay, wait. You brought up Mutual of Omaha. I just have to share. Hold on. Is this what you're talking about? I freaking love this. Wild Kingdom.
We're about to watch some animals eat some other animals.
Settled in, everybody. That lion's going to eat that gazelle.
Love it.
Yeah. So, yes, correct. So this is the setup, and that's and they take way too long to set it up, and then once it does go, uh-oh, giant ants. And I think it's that's that guy in that horrible blue suit and his wife and finding the fake pipes, right?
Right. They're No. That was not them. The horrible blue suit was they're the ones who hid out in the outhouse later on.
Right.
You're thinking about
No. I don't mean the old people. I'm talking about the Mexicans.
We're old. We can't do anything.
I can't go search for people. We're old.
We came to do this simply because we thought it was free. And the thing is with the old guy that's always in, he's a great trope fact here. Yeah. He's this guy that just doesn't ever believe anybody. Everyone's trying to screw everyone. I got to see for myself.
You're talking about the other couple.
Yeah. I love that guy.
The Hispanic couple.
Yeah, and he, yeah. You know what?
I'm writing down every bus ticket because we're getting reimbursed. This is supposed to be free.
Right.
I'm trying
to. All right. Okay.
What?
So I have to ask a question. Go. And if you, the listener, have not seen this movie, I would be ruining it for you, except it was ruined for you 35 years ago. So, but when it was made, it was ruined for you. Okay. So the question is, at what point during your viewing of this film did you realize that there was going to be the big twist that there were other people working for the ants within days of the ants emerging?
When I saw the farmer and his wife, that's when I knew.
Really?
When they started acting like that, Penelope's a good wife, and they just started getting all like corn, children of the corn looking.
Right.
Went, all right, something's up. The town is protecting the ants.
Yeah, I did not figure it out. It was basically pretty much surprised when they telegraphed it to me by the cops not letting them leave.
Right. I mean, I think I realized it after she said, don't go near the – when the old lady walked up and said, don't go near the sugar factory. If you do go in the sugar factory, be sure if you get into the gas chamber, be sure just to hold your breath for 5 seconds like I do and pretend like everything's okay. That was when I knew, oh, they're in on it.
Yeah.
I had no clue when I saw
to me when they got all weird when they were asking them questions and said, y'all look like you had a hell of a journey or whatever. And I went, this isn't right. Clearly, they wouldn't be acting all zombified like this if they weren't working with the ants. Mm-hmm. Which sounds just what I just said right there. How dumb did that sound?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's what I'm
working for the ants.
Yeah. It's so
who
stupid.
Who just emerged, by the way. The ants have been around for a couple days.
That was all. And that can't have been there very long. And by the way, the ants, the way that they turned into what they are is there's these, the whole movie opens with these barrels silver paint?
Radioactive goo. Mercury.
We're just
kicking 55-gallon drums into the ocean.
Let's say it's mercury because it looked like metal.
You gotta appreciate the technology of this boat that only releases them one at a time.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Like they're lined up to go on the tilt-a-whirl or something.
That was pretty cool.
How long did it take you to dump those? All about 6 hours.
But they dump those in there. One of them washes up on shore and has a leak. It lands on shore. It poops out its leak. And then apparently ants are attracted to whatever leaks. So they all come over. They're little tiny ants. Oh, and I forgot. There's a whole intro about ants. And I'm going to play that guy here.
This is the ant. Treat it with respect, for it may very well be the next dominant life form of our planet.
Foreshadow.
Treat it with respect, unless you're the director, and then we're going to cover it with silver goo. Bye.
Right. Oh, man.
We're going to use ants like special effects.
So did you actually get the rest of that? Is that all you got?
That's
all
I got out of that guy. Well, that and this right here.
It causes an obligatory response.
That.
No.
He says something ludicrous about the ant, you know, having an intelligence that's comparable to humans, which is just ridiculous on so many levels.
That's what I said too. But then I thought, like, okay, does he mean as a colony? Does he mean like does he mean industrious?
Matter. It just means
that's
they can build stuff, but it doesn't matter because he's right that they it's all about this pheromone, and yeah, they all respond to it, and they just do these basic little binary instincts. Right. But we make decisions and have like choices and emotion and a million other things that make us nothing like those effing things.
It's just like, I don't know. Even what was portrayed isn't portrayed as intelligence until near the very end. There's a little bit that's portrayed. But then,
and the narrator says, no need to worry unless they get a hold of radioactive waste.
And then
it's like, bah, bah, bah.
I wonder what will happen.
Yeah.
Bah, 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 bah.
Oh, no.
So, and I thought that guy was, what's his name?
It causes an obligatory response.
From Gunsmoke. I thought it was James Arness, but it's not. Mm. His name was nowhere near this, so good for him. So, yeah, that's how it works out. Ants get huge.
They find out. They start killing people. They make horrible, horrible sounds that Brian Ibbett's dogs don't like. And then that goes on for 45 minutes straight. And every attack is the same. It's somebody standing and screaming and not running.
Right.
And slowly getting killed.
At one point, this guy's like holding a woman there who actually might run away if he would stop squeezing her.
Right. Exactly. That was a major sticking point for me.
How'd you feel about the special effects, though? I mean, for its day, it was okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I have not seen the method by which they used the split screens and that. And I haven't seen that anywhere else.
I think you're splicing stuff together. Well, I've seen some like that.
You're walking into the sugar factory. You actually see the shadows on the wall. The Meshuggah factory. Right. All right, ants in the Meshuggah factory. I should be so lucky. You actually see shadows on the wall of the factory as they're walking, climbing into it.
Right. Yeah. It did not bother you, just the crap out of you, that the ants could not go straight into the sugar hole? That they had to I kept thinking, these ants are not smart. They're walking up the wall, falling down, walking up the wall, falling down. I'm like,
time that they didn't look like they were humping each other on a piece of glass was when they were walking down the dock to get on the boat.
Oh, yeah. Now, that scene, for whatever reason, made me laugh because boatman, like Jaws ship driver guy, puts one foot on a rock, looks out to his boat, and then this army of silhouette ants are climbing out to his boat. And for whatever reason, that scene's supposed to look ominous and terrible, and I was laughing my head off.
Totally, yeah.
It looked really dumb.
Why were they going to the boat? What were they going to do with the boat? I don't know.
I
did find it interesting that when they were doing the closer to water, whenever there was near the water and the ants were around, they kept playing the Jaws kind of music.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Arr, arr.
Yeah,
they had a riff on Jaws music.
In fact,
after that.
I think I have some.
Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty Jaws.
Wow. Come on. This was 77, Jaws was 75, so.
Going out to the boat, don't know. But here's something I thought was funny. Guy jumps out, he goes to dive to his boat, which, by the way, was way farther away than it took him to swim there, but whatever.
Right.
He's Mark Spitz out there. He jumps, ask your parents who Mark Spitz is, jumps into the water, takes his shoes off, okay? Gets his shoes off, jumps in the water, swims all the way out of the boat, gets on the boat with his shoes on again.
Yep, and the ants get him.
That was awesome. Yeah.
I love the fact that that's the only goof that you can find
there were
on
many
IMDb.
More.
It's the only one.
That's so funny. And you know what? I think the reason why they found it is because probably they were just annoyed as I was. When somebody is trying to rush to the boat from the shore, You don't take the time to take off your shoes. You just swim in your shoes. Right. You just do it.
Yeah. Plus, when you get there, you need to have some gripping and some ability to climb up there and whatever. And
this was the 70s. They're probably wearing some penny loafers or something. So I don't know. Maybe not.
Was the other guy already out there who died?
Yeah. The other guy was the second mate, I'm assuming.
Also, that burning boat and how long it took him to observe it. Come on, guys. Mm-hmm. We don't need to fill this movie up with more time. It's just nothing.
Right, and how conveniently placed those gas canisters were. Then he blew a hole. I mean, like, come on, could you do anything else more stupid? Because you know what, I kept thinking during this movie, maybe I'm missing the point of this movie. Maybe the point of this movie is we don't need ants to destroy us. We're dumb enough that we can do it ourselves. Because every person that died in this movie died from their own stupidity.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Did Joan Collins die? She did ultimately in the fire, but when she fell down. She was being just about as dumb as you get, as a rock. Because the pheromones were wearing off. Like Sheriff Deputy Butthole over there decided to go ahead and shoot the queen, finally. And then she's snapping out of it and then does one of her stands there with her hands over her face and screams and then shrinks down to the bottom while she's getting gnawed on and then smoke blown in her face again. And I'm just thinking, you are the worst. You're the worst person in this movie.
You know what bothered me really about that scene is the fact that they started crossing over our genres, because if an ant instructs you to do something through pheromone direction, just because they die, you're not a vampire. You don't burn it up, and I don't know that really.
Right.
Kind of,
there should be all of these human zombies left after this thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. But suddenly just snap right out of it.
Pheromone affected for who knows how long.
How many movies can you guys think of where the main villain, not villain, but the biggest douchebag in your crew got
who's the biggest douchebag in my crew?
Got the first billing. She's Joan Collins, billing number one. I can't think of another movie where, I mean, It's not like James Earl Jones got first billing in freaking Star Wars.
Right. Was she, I mean, she'd done that Tales from the Crypt thing, but what else has she done that was...
Star Trek.
Other than that, she was pretty big for this movie, I guess.
Was she? I don't know. I would have been too, I mean, I was, what,
I think
seven?
They had, yeah, I think they had a good, she probably slipped her way to the top.
I'll bet you this scared the hell out of me. If I'd have seen this when I was seven, I would have terrified me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just the thing. Like, how can a movie this bad be this effective?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Joan Collins had been around for a while. She was a name. I mean, she had been Batman, the Siren in Batman TV series.
She had been Batman.
She's been in stuff since 1951.
She's our Star Trek connection with Sister Edith Keeler. I mean, so she's been in lots of stuff.
Can I tell you my favorite thing in the movie?
You may,
Ants. When that storm rolled in.
Right.
It was like clear as a bell, and then somebody goes, I may not have fire for long anyway, and they look up in the sky, and the clouds are moving at 400 miles an hour, and a big giant cartoon lightning. That was great.
Yes. And then they cut to their faces, and it's sunshine behind them.
Right. That was awesome.
I couldn't focus on that because I was too busy going, just put the canopy over the dang fire.
Yeah.
Move it 5 feet.
Yeah, you dumbasses. Yes, Randy. Okay.
What was Randy?
My favorite thing in the film is just the general inability to keep the same exact species of ant,
right?
For starters, mm-hmm. And then also make it appear to be generally the same size.
Yeah.
So, like, the best example for me, although the one with all the different shots of the ants rolling around on a pile of sugar are pretty damn good.
Oh, but, sugared ants, giant sugared ants, those would sell well.
Yeah, but the scene where it really stuck out to me was the final scene where they're in the boat. They're finally going to get out of the boat and start into town on foot.
Yeah,
and of course, some ants come along and they fight the ants. Always. They're in the boat, in the water, on like downed sticks and stuff. And the ants keep going from being, I don't know, the size of the boat. No, bigger than the boat that was holding four people.
Yeah.
To
like Doberman,
about the size of the person fighting them.
It just I
don't know why that just stuck out for me. And like you said, if I had been eight, that would have ruined my life.
Yeah. Would have messed you up.
And it's just hysterically bad.
I have a weird thing in my head about this. I think that they would be more scary if they were consistently about the size of a big dog.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then not too big is just kind of, the huge
lumbering.
You
know. Yeah.
Yeah. But like it just a little fast. Like that's why raptors in Jurassic Park are so menacing because they're really not that big. They're not like, a T-Rex is scary, but it ain't this thing.
Right.
A T-Rex is scary, but it can't follow me into my house.
Right.
Whereas
he can eat you out of a porta potty, but he can't follow you into the house.
Right.
Right.
The lawyer.
And the lawyer so did. I'll tell you what's the creepiest size for.
Sorry, go ahead.
I tell you what's the creepiest size for any ant, and this actually exists. Have you guys ever seen a velvet ant killer?
A velvet ant killer?
Yes. These are big, giant red ants. Actually are spiders, if I'm not mistaken. Or a species of wasp, I think. Oh, I'm reading here is the species of wasp. Anyway, they are freaking scary as crap. And they're
Googling.
They
are
large.
It's a wasp.
Give it again. What's the name of it again?
Velvet ant killer.
A cow killer.
Velvet ant.
A velvet ant. And they crawl. They don't fly.
Did you call it a cow killer?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cow killer.
Ant or velvet ant.
Right. And those things, watch some video of those things. Those things are huge. I've had one chase me before.
Oh my gosh. Is that really an ant?
It is a wasp.
It's a wasp. Where are the wings,
flightless
though?
Wasp.
Oh, it's a flightless wasp. Okay. It's like a chicken.
It hides in the ground like a freaking ant does. And it comes out. And I had one chase me one time. And it just scared the patookas out of me.
Oh, look at that. Are these only in the South?
I have no idea. The ones that it's in the South when I saw them.
No, we're talking about world. We're talking about a worldwide.
I'm watching the video, and that's really gross.
Now, I would be scared of that.
Holy cow, that thing is huge.
Yeah, holy cow killer.
So they can
holy
kill a cow? Man. Is that the thing? They can kill a cow?
Enough of them could.
I'd say just get a handful of them and,
yeah.
You know, ants, swarms of ants, that whole idea always scared me as a kid.
I remember being at school and they would tell. I remember kids would tell that story. They would say, "Oh man, don't kill an ant if it's by itself." Well, why not? Because the rest of the ant hill will come. They'll come find you when you're sleeping, and they'll come attack you. And it's like,
great, nice.
Yes, I couldn't sleep at night.
That's
ever.
Just mean.
What, that is pretty killed an ant?
That is pretty. No, not you.
To tell a kid telling you that. Like that.
Yeah, it was other kids. They heard it from somebody else. Yeah, buttholes. Sure, they heard it from the older brother or something.
I thought the girl, the blonde girl that made it the whole way, she was cute. Really, really hot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And they kept finding new ways to dunk her in water so that...
oh, hello, are those your nipples?
Right, I think I put in my notes more nipples than a Joel Schumacher movie or something, I think it was.
Are those your nipples or...
My scrot.
It's your scrot.
My scrot.
Yes, she was real pretty. I thought she was real pretty.
She is real pretty.
She had a pretty mouth.
Beautiful eyes.
Let's see, I got a trope for you here. Crusty old dude who drives the boat and just wants to be left alone turns out to be the smartest and most scrappy of the bunch and leads everybody. That happens a lot in movies. And and old people slow us down. That's the other one.
Now, we can go ahead and talk about the old people. We can go ahead and call them the chick in the bucket because apparently the movie did not want to show two old people getting killed. So they just kind of left them standing at the outhouse with surrounded by ants.
Yeah, so. That was do you think that was just sensitivity to, you know, we can't show the elderly getting overwhelmed by an ant?
I guess not. Either that or he couldn't get down. It's like, I can't get down and crawl on the ground.
Did they ever show any? Oh, no, they did show girls. Plenty of girls died.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like the one, Larry's wife. She was also pretty. She died early. But yeah, the old people thing, just you always got to have somebody old and decrepit in there. And everyone does it. Lost had him. He had Rose and Bernard. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got your old people.
It got your old people.
It's just part of your movie. It's part of your TV show.
Huge trope I was expecting got totally averted in this film.
What's that?
We didn't eventually find the anthill.
Oh,
didn't you? I spent this whole film waiting for the anthill. They were going to eventually like come out of into a clearing and see a mountain covered with giant ants. But yeah, no.
They never did. That's a good point. That's for a sequel, Randy. Sequel.
Yeah, that's interesting because they would be all like in the radioactive waste and then would go back to their hole and be like, I can't fit. And have to dig a new one. Interesting.
Doesn't that seem like sequel material, though? It's what you do when you make, you know, Jurassic Park 2. Aliens or whatever.
Yeah, I think we had an Indiana Jones Kingdom.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Yeah.
Wasn't that the one where he got chased by giant ants?
It's the one where he went into a refrigerator and got blown 400 miles away.
Yeah, but before that, there was the ants.
That is the worst movie ever made. Let us never speak of it again. I really do.
It had to be ants.
You know what? I'd say Crystal Skull is not that much better than this.
Not much worse.
That's some rough stuff to say, I realize, but whatever. I stick by it. Too much helping ladies like they're the weakest creatures of all time. Come on. Yeah. None of these women could do anything without these strong men intervening. Oh,
yeah. Any running involved at least two trips and falls on the ground and getting either dragged or left or you could just be left behind because you're a woman who's tripped and fallen on the ground.
Generational thing. You really don't see that now.
No.
In movies. It's got to be like a 70s, 60s thing.
Right.
Let's see. I got one more trope here for you right here. Like anyone would get into your sinister story about, I know what it was. Lady on the boat. When this happens. It's quiet because now, and you're all feeling the aftermath, the shock of what's happened. And somebody speaks up and says, yeah, I got fired from my job at 15. Nobody cares.
Oh, yeah. They nobody cares. And once again, that was part of that overt attempt at giving characters depth so we would feel for them, and it just felt forced.
Trying to think what it's like. There's plenty of examples and I can't think of one, but Titanic. Maybe.
Hey, I don't know, but when Joan Collins had her little island workers there and they were dressed in those orange jumpsuits from prison, I was kind of worried about her labor anyway.
Yeah, and then she goes, what'd she say on the boat? She goes, you still work for me. I'm in charge here. Somebody goes, you want to row the boat?
Yeah, I love that. Actually,
and she
really
sits back and is defeated because clearly a lady can't row.
She's a woman. She can't row. What are you kidding me?
That bugs me.
She's got capri pants on. She can't row. Are you kidding me?
What were those? Whatever.
I was too focused on her headband, like her shirt and matching headband.
Oh, can we talk about the collars in this movie?
Yeah, pretty good.
Oh.
Pretty good stuff.
Almost as big as the ants.
I'm like, don't worry about rowing away. Just fly away with your collars.
Another good example, though, of some old crappy movies looking really sharp on Netflix HD. Like,
oh, it looked very good.
Surprised again. Like, it almost felt like a newer movie that had been made to look like it was old.
Now, right. I don't want to convince anybody who has something better to do to watch this movie, but it may actually be too good on Netflix streaming. Like, I often felt like, gosh, I'm seeing through the special effects, and I'd really like this to be a little blurrier, a little grainier, or I should say, have a little more stage smoke. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah. Like you get when you go to a theater, or if you go through, if you was to see this in a drive-in, it would probably be a lot better because it would
be a drive-in movie. Yeah.
Yep. Because you're just making out and avoiding the movie.
Right.
Is that
right
for us?
Now, can I ask one question here? Now, I haven't been in any timeshare things lately where giant ants are involved, but during the 70s, and I'm just curious now, is it quid pro quo to serve sandwiches? Is that the appetizer?
Yes. Choices? So I'll tell you, I just did one in Vegas, totally begrudgingly, but the deal was we got four $40 seafood buffet tickets for the Rio out of it. Okay.
Right, I love that seafood.
It's
buffet.
Really good, and it was so worth $40 a person to do this. So we sat through their little presentation. They made you an omelet. You got to tell them how you wanted it made, what you wanted in it. Like, they really wanted to dine you, and then they pour on the freaking sales pitch. And
but not white bread sandwiches with mayonnaise.
No, none of that. No, okay. No, you're right. Okay, that's a good point.
Right.
None of that.
And celery. Poorly cut celery at that. I was kind of concerned about the food.
But you know what's funny is after we got done with that, and as happy as I was to have those tickets, and we never had to do it again. It was this one-time deal. And I told them no at the end. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd do it again for that because it's painful. They keep you forever. They won't let you say no unless you somehow find some brilliant way to sneak it in. And even when you do, they turn it around. And they spend about an hour trying to decide who they're going to be for you. So he's kind of like, is this a guy that likes to go to strip clubs? Is this a guy that likes to talk about computers? Like, you could see it in his eye.
Really?
And he would say, and he'd catch me saying things like, oh, yeah, one of our daughters is this and that. Oh, yeah, let me open my wallet and show you a picture of my kid. And the next minute, we're like, oh, man, you never know what's going to happen on the street. And he says, all right, don't let anyone see this, but this picture. And he'd show me some nasty thing with him and a stripper. And I'm like, you don't know who I am yet, and you're trying to figure it out. I just want to eat this omelet, get my tickets, and leave!
Right.
I have a buddy who claims that he goes to these things and he's the first guy to leave with his comp stuff by claiming that he's got to get on the phone with his attorney to discuss his impending bankruptcy. He thought he was going to, he always tells them he thought he was going to avoid bankruptcy, but it looks like it's a real deal. And that somehow gets him out. I think that's BS. I don't think these salespeople, I don't think they're going to stop.
Yeah. So they don't fall for by anything. That. Do they segregate you out? Like, do they split the herd to take out the weaker ones? Or do they keep you all in the same room?
It feels like they do all sorts of those tactics. And
I mean, for you guys, did they ever, like, get you and Kim alone?
They never separated us, no. Okay. No, I wouldn't have it. I was in that mode of, like, I seriously, like a snake kind of coiled back, like just waiting for somebody to cross me, like this pissy old guy. And I just was like, nope.
This isn't a good deal. You just keep saying that.
I'd say, you know, that's not a good deal. You guys, we're actually having the good deal we wanted right now, and you're trying to make it not a good deal for us, but you're telling me it's a good deal. I actually came out and said that. I said, this just doesn't make sense for us. And they would say, but, what if we got over by a fax, some kind of agreement full of blah, blah, blah. And I just go, no, that wouldn't do it either. But they'd still do it. They go through the motions and, all right, one time deal. We got to hold a corporate office. And they said, today only. I'm like, this seafood ticket isn't going to eat itself. I've got to go.
Oh.
It was that night we were meeting with you, Ibbett, and I had to get out of there. And I was so irritated.
I love it when salespeople pretend to go to the tower. That's what they call wherever they they pretend to go to the tower and come back and give you the one time only deal. They're gonna lose money, but they want to make you happy.
I think she went in the break room and came out with papers. I don't think there was anything in there. I think it was a microwave. I think there was a
underguard thing, like, you know, let me go talk to my manager and see what I can do for you. And then goes up to the manager. So are you going to go see the Buckeyes this this Sunday? Any extra tickets?
That's exactly it. Oh, man. All right. Well, ants. Let's move on to ants. What else? Oh, the kids Big Will made me laugh when he thought it was they heard this. Hold on. They heard. Where is it? I can't find the sound now. They hear this.
Wax on.
Oh, that's from a whole different movie. There, this
couple
one.
Weeks ago.
So they hear this, and the music gets all scary, and they think, oh no, it's going to be another freaking ant. And it's a kid on a truck.
Yeah, the kid on the big wheel is making the exact same sound.
Yeah, makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Right.
And they're that... I understand suspending disbelief. I understand parking your brain at the door. But some of that stuff got a little out of control.
I don't know. I don't want to ruin the clips. Oh, I hope this is not in the clips. Or I hope it is actually in the clips. But man, when Joan Collins herds them all, while things are still good, she herds them all onto the short two-car tram. And she pulls out her megaphone to talk to them, who are like 2 feet away from her. With the megaphone. And she's like yelling in their ears. I did not understand that.
Here, I got a piece.
Now, don't forget, if you have any questions about anything, just shout them out.
She was five inches from those people.
They're like not even 3 feet away from her.
Yep.
And she's yelling into the woods, basically. She won't point it at them. She's yelling into the woods. No wonder the ants are pissed.
Yeah. If there's giant ants, first thing you do, you get a bullhorn and act like a dumbass. Oh, God. Sorry, I keep blowing all these clips early. That's all right, though. Let's move on to what? The queen farting on old farmers. We talked about that. Dukes of Hazzard car crash in the river. That was pretty good.
That scene made me so sad. Yeah. Like, I felt like there's no way. I'm sorry, but how do you stop people who are willing to steal a car to get out of town from getting out of town?
Yeah.
They're going to get out of town.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they turn down the dirt road and these two cops pull together nose to nose right in front of them. Oh, come on.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. All right,
even though Randy couldn't distinguish a specific size of any of the ants, I'm assuming they were anywhere between, 6 to 8 feet in length. They were large.
They kept changing, though, is the problem.
Yeah, but yeah. They were at least that big. I just could not understand why at least 10 times in this movie they would be walking along and they would walk into an ant, walk right into his face. And I'm like, how could you not see the ant?
Right. But not hear them. Like, these things make this horrendous noise, but only right when you find them.
Yeah.
Right.
Larry, look at the woods. Bah! And it'd be right there. Like a stone's throw away.
I was going to make like a skit about this movie, it would be these two people in a king size bed talking to each other. And one of them is like, I'm not talking to you anymore, and turns away from their partner, and the ant is next to them into the bed. Like, seriously, that's how close people are. To
these ants. It's pretty dang close to what they did every five freaking minutes.
By the way, I have 6 pages of notes.
Good Lord.
How?
Why? How could this
have a list of that?
So there's things that bother me in movies when they start getting slow, and there's a lot of slow moments in this movie. Yeah. And one of the things that was really bothering me was the fact that the mayor kept demanding more sugar be delivered. And I'm thinking, this is a small town. How are they affording all that sugar? And the ants are just coming in and eating it. This is going to last maybe like a day before they're broke. And I don't know. I kept getting taken out of the movie because of stupid economics.
The bad economics of Empire of the Ants.
Economics. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Right.
I'm with
Can't rent a car unless you got your driver's license. What kind of place is this?
What?
Is that the way it is? Is that the way it is for? I mean, I can't go get a car without a license, right?
Right.
But in 1977, they didn't want a license. They wanted an address.
Right.
Oh, right.
Three Pine.
Yeah. They didn't have computers. I can't believe I'm defending it. I'm not.
I'll tell you the most. If you're of an age and you're listening to this and you've never seen anyone use a payphone. Or have experienced a payphone or phones from the 70s. Oh, dear Lord, watch this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's so funny because the mayor's in there talking and someone is interrupting. And he says, the first thing, long distance phone is what he tells them, long distance phone. Mm-hmm. That used to mean something. You don't ever tell anybody now long distance phone because it's just.
Do AT&T and all the Bells, do they call people at night and encourage them to buy long distance time for home phones because people still have home phones. Is that still a thing you do?
No.
Right. I don't know. It's a good question.
No. I don't know when that changed. I understand all the factors that would make it change, but I don't know when the crossover happened. Like when did, because you can still get, because people still dial up to AOL in parts of this country.
Sure. Right, but the internet did away with the different zones,
So there's no point in it now. There never was a point. I mean, my theory was they were always gouging us, and it was never more expensive.
They were. Oh, they definitely were. The whole idea of small exchanges is just to get more money out of the consumer.
Pisses me off.
Right. Well, but see, back in the day when there was operators in every city, you know, long distance made sense.
It's the bandwidth cap of the old days. That's what it is.
Right.
It really is. If you think about that, this bandwidth caps are going to seem so dumb in 20 years. That's going to be just the dumbest thing that somebody had you pay for a service that wasn't ubiquitous and cheap, and that you had to pay more if you went over a certain amount. That is going to seem like long distance. That's going to seem so dumb.
Right.
I can't wait. I wish it could happen right now.
Much broke.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. let's move on. Any other? Brian, and I got more notes. You got any more notes? No. Of notes?
I'm going to skip it.
You weren't watching this movie on all your cans of carbonated caffeine drinks, were you?
I could have been.
Is that what
also
happened?
Also might have been sitting on my scrot, but
I got
whatever.
I got 7-12 packs of Monster, and I'm ready for Empire of the Ants.
Ever dance, let's watch, let's go.
All right. The queen farting on the old farmers was really funny. I just wanted to mention that one more time. All right. Finally, let's get to some clips or what remain of them. Here is one. Did I already play this one?
It causes.
Yeah, I did. So here is.
It causes.
Him again.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did. I heard that.
Yeah, we did. It was the ant farting on the old people.
Here's the guy. Here's where we first hear Joan Collins and her little helper monkey guy who's like her sex slave and partner and all this somehow. That was never really explained. He's maybe the chick in the bucket. I don't know, but at least his backstory is chick in the bucket, but here it is.
What took you so long?
Oh, I stopped to get some extra liquor.
You should have let me know.
I didn't know I was supposed to be on call.
You're always supposed to be on call.
And then she goes on to say, if you weren't so great in the sack. Yes.
Right, right.
The sack.
On call.
So,
I mean booty.
Who?
If I wasn't clear enough.
Who's our chick in the bucket?
I thought it was the old people because they never actually showed them getting
killed. Oh, that's right. You didn't say that. Mm. Is there anybody else we forgot about? The two workers were killed.
Yeah. I think they're the first deaths you see.
Yeah, sort of. Right. You see their foot.
Sort of.
I think the red ants are the chick in the bucket because they were just there for a second or two.
Right. Yeah, I totally thought that was going to be like, oh, that's how this thing's going to turn out. Ants are going to save them, and then they're going to have to deal with giant red ants.
Yeah, it's like finding out in that War of the Worlds that the reason they died is from the flu or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
That never occurred to me. This whole film never occurred to me. I will say about that clip, when the people are just acting, like just people talking to people, pretty good. I mean, it's like the whole rest of the film is so bad.
Yeah.
The beginning is actually not bad.
No, they're not bad actors, really. I mean, they're all.
No, but it's a very specific 70s style of acting. I mean, it feels like After School Special or Chips or, you know, something along those lines, the acting style.
Larry from Chips. That's right.
Larry from Chips.
Here's the sack.
That wasn't working. Yeah.
Here's the sack part.
You're so terrific in the sack that it almost justifies the excessive salary that I have to pay.
Blah. Almost. Not quite, but almost.
You're not that good.
No, don't fool yourself.
Here's the old man about the boat.
Sure, a nice boat, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, honey. That's a pretty nice boat. Here's another one. Nobody likes Joan Collins.
Think that'll please a bitch? Ever see anything they did? What a ripoff.
I love that.
Think that'll please her? Here's a dude who talks about his life.
I've got a job that pays $30,000 a year. I own a 2-bedroom condominium. I've got a $10,000 sports car. I got a wife, and I got a 4-year-old kid. Thinks I'm God. How's that?
That's terrific.
Shut up, woman.
So what I like about that is
your sandwich.
That sounded impressive in 1977.
Right.
30K.
Certainly sounded impressive in 67.
Oh yeah, 30K, and then 10 grand for a car. That was a lot in 77. You could buy a Mustang for like five or six. I want to say so. Yeah. The old days. Enjoy. All right, here is her again.
That's terrific.
I'm just going to have that on all the time now.
That's terrific.
Looking. Okay, that guy is Lord of Dubover.
I love him.
The greatest dub job of all time. Looking. I mean, just listen to that.
Looking.
It's not even like the right.
That was the Hispanic couple.
It was because he doesn't speak English.
Yeah. But they've, I mean, it just doesn't sound like the right mic. They don't try to simulate the environment. They don't do anything with that dub. No. It's just a different guy.
Looking, but, just looking.
But we're not talking just about looking. Marvin Miller.
No. Is that Marvin Miller?
Well, no. Marvin Miller's the guy at the beginning.
Oh, no. Not the same guy.
Okay.
Different guy.
Looking, just looking.
I think so. I don't know.
Now yeah, now Marvin Miller was one of the voice of God type voice actors, right. You know, radio guy that was used to do the, you know,
you saying stuff. You saying you think that might be him?
I don't know.
Maybe.
But
this
he's
the end.
Okay, no, there's
that guy. That guy. That's Marvin Miller.
That might be Marvin Miller. Oh, it is, because he's in the credits. That's got to be.
Yes.
Him.
Yes. Right.
Very nice. Now where the hell was I?
Oh. Looking.
All right, I got it. All right, okay. Here he is again, finding out that all the pipes are fake.
Look at this, Mary. It's a water pipe. It isn't even connected. It's a fraud, just like I said. These people are dishonest. This is a fraud.
Thank you, Mary.
Let's see. I'm an old man. Oh, yeah. So he couldn't help fight because he's old. So here is that part.
Oh, no, not me. I'm an old man.
I can't pay.
I'm an old man.
I'm an old man. I'm useless.
What's funny about that is I thought I paid for it. It reminds me of Uncle Leo on Seinfeld.
Right. I loved it because old man was all about, you know, trotting around and doing fun stuff. And it was all of a sudden, it's like I do real work. And he's like, I'm an old man.
It's weird that it's the same guy that says this right here.
Sure, a nice boat, isn't it?
That's the same guy who then says.
Not me. I'm an old man.
Oh, now you're all soft and squishy. Okay, Ponka. Enjoy what was left.
All we wanted was to enjoy what was left of our life.
Wait for it.
Is that bad?
I'm that. So glad you captured that.
Right.
She took so long.
Is that so wrong, wanting to just die, curl up and die like we're supposed to? Oh. Without being eaten by an ant.
I know.
That's all we wanted.
Want to die natural.
I didn't expect to die by the jaws of an ant.
I love that.
That's great. Finally, oh no, second to last, Larry's acting angry. So here's our angry acting. This is Larry from Chips. Okay, here you go.
It's my life, goddammit. Go left.
Go left.
I loved it. Did y'all guys not feel instantly, and I watched this with my kids, and it was instantly like, go left. I'm like, oh, crap, it's going to be a waterfall for sure.
Something bad, yeah. I didn't think waterfall, but I like, no, it's not going to be just, right.
Just thought it was going to be a routine expedition.
Don't let Larry be in charge. He's the worst.
Wait, was that your last clip?
Hold on.
For reals?
I can't remember. Hold on.
It's my life, God.
No, it's this one right here from Larry after he screws up and they take him to the worst place.
Congratulations, Larry. You're also a dynamite navigator.
Go to hell.
Anytime Larry talked, that was funny.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. There was one scene where the blonde-headed lady, she says, they're hurting us like cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And she freaks out.
I didn't cap that.
Didn't get that?
No. All right. The cute one said that.
Robert Pine is the guy who's still working his ass off in Hollywood.
Yeah, he is. He's all over the place. I don't know. Joan Collins is in a bunch of stuff. None of it I've heard of, but things here and there.
Really?
I'm sure she is a monument of plastic surgery right now. Mm-hmm. She's got to be. I'm looking at these pictures and it's like, nah.
She's 79.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We said earlier.
Something like that. Yeah. Don't tell her that.
I want to go now. I want to go watch Guiding Light. I used to have to watch Guiding Light when I was a kid.
You had to?
Yeah, my mom watched it. She would make me
sit
in there with her. You know, it was like her show, and this was right before my parents got. My parents were the last people in the town to get a VCR, and I had to be in there when I was, you know, 6, 7, 8 because I
watching your program
get into trouble.
Yeah,
I watch my stories.
Stories.
My mom was like 40. What the hell? You just made her like 90.
I know. I couldn't.
I just love that reference. It's an awesome reference. All right.
Mom is watching her stories.
The answer to kill us. Scott Fletcher knows how to kill a spider. This is his answer.
Sweep the leg.
That's from
Nice.
All right.
This movie.
It's not great, you guys. It's not great.
It had its moments.
I had fun with it, but I only had fun with it because I knew I was going to talk to you guys about it.
Last week, Scott wouldn't let me blame him on that film. Well, can we blame you?
You can blame me a little bit. For being so excited about it.
bit.
Yeah, I still don't. I don't regret it though. No regrets on this either. One because giant ants, and I'm still say that's an impetus for watching anything.
I think it is too. I think the movie that does the best job modern day or more modern day is Anaconda. I mean, it's the same kind of idea of that.
That's even a though big it's more snake natural. With Tupac.
Jennifer Lopez.
No, who's the rapper? Ice Cube. That's who's in it.
Yep.
Right, Ice Cube. And I think
John Voight.
Mm. And I think that's these movies have, you know, a particular place. And so I thought it was okay.
Favorite rapper in movies? Go. Favorite Mine's rapper. Ice Cube, so I say Ice Cube.
Well, I'm with you. Well, it's going to be Ice Cube or Ice-T. I mean, it's got to be one of the Ices.
It's got to be one of the Ices.
Right.
What do you guys say? Brian Dunaway or Gibbet?
What's his name? Common, who is...
If we're going that way, I'll go with Mos Def because he's great.
Yeah, he's great. Any of those guys. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. Any rapper working in movies. What?
How are you guys... Okay, Will Smith. I get Will Smith.
Man, but Will Smith's not a rapper. He's a fake rapper.
You gave me Will Smith.
Who was the one that was in Fifth Element? Was that Mos Def?
No.
And I'm not talking
Chris Rock.
No.
Not Chris Rock either. It's Chris Tucker, by the way. But Brian's talking about the guy. You're talking about the guy that went up and tried to get into the plane.
Yeah, Lilo Dallas multipass. Right. I'm Corbin Dallas. Yeah. But I can't remember who that was.
Shoot. He's a rapper. Mos Def? No, that's not Mos Def. Mos Def plays...
Most definitely not Mos Def.
He plays Ford Prefect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's great. I agree with him. I just think pound for pound Ice Cube. Randy, what do you say? Don't say Will Smith. He's not a rapper.
I don't. Yes, he is. He's not. Absolutely,
but
he is.
He's not the kind of rapper I mean. Is. All right. I'm sorry. Let me back
all
it
right.
up.
Rapper okay, who then could, I'll take.
Kill
I'll
a
take,
guy? Is that what you're talking about?
Dirty gangster street rapper, not Will Smith with his freaking.
Okay. So
let me tell you a story about how I'm not really black and I did a thing with the stuff.
Oh, my God. So you're not going
from the Fifth Element.
You're not going to give me Mark Wahlberg either, are you?
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch is an interesting choice, but no, I don't think that. I don't think you can count that.
Okay,
you can
count.
You could say. You could say who? 8 Mile. Who's that? I forget already.
Forget Eminem. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with LL Cool J.
Oh, okay.
I'm down with that.
I'm pretty down with that too. He's all right. Yeah. He's good in movies.
He's a chill guy.
He would. Oh, totally would. He was in that the reboot of the Halloween series. He played a security.
He was in that Judgment Night too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's in Rollerball,
right?
The new Rollerball.
Yep, right. and he was on Hawaii 5-0 earlier this year, and he was excellent.
Tupac was good, and Juice. Biggie Smalls was good.
No response to that at all.
Biggie Smalls was so good. And, I know, I got real quiet there. What was that about? That was freaking me out.
Hey, Tricky was in The Crow. He was in Strange Days.
Mm.
Ooh, he was in Face Off.
No, I'm going to go with the Fat Boys and Disorderlies.
No.
I'm going to go Kid and Play with House Party.
I'm so glad you brought up the Fat Boys. Are they still doing anything?
So a couple years ago, more like 4 years ago, there's this Al Pacino, Robert De Niro movie called Righteous Kill. And
I have it's vague a memory of that. Yeah.
It's a bit of a twist thriller, and everybody says it's a horrible movie, and I love this movie. Mm-hmm. And I think it turns on whether or not you like 50 Cent in his role in the film. Mm. I thought he was pretty good. I would like to see him in more movies.
He is you're right, he is in this. 50 Cent plays Spider.
Yes,
somebody named Spider. All right. Yes. Well, and also Donnie Wahlberg's in that as well. Well,
On the other hand, everything Snoop Dogg touches is just awful.
How about Ludacris? He's all right. Mm-hmm. He's in the Fast Five movies, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the guy? I don't know. He may not be.
Yeah. All right. But I don't think he's in all of them. I think he's in, you know, Crash and Fred Claus.
To think he was in all of them would be ludicrous.
He was in Rock and Rolla. Did you see Rock and Rolla?
No. Oh, wait. Yeah, I did. The one with the guy from Children of Men or City of Heroes or what was it? Whatever it was.
Whatever that guy.
Children of Men.
Children of Men.
Yeah. Anyway, onward and upward. Okay. Let's jump to our awards here real quick. Time for us to award this film in the film sack way, the only way we know how. The trip over the most obvious log, of All Time award goes to that girl who apparently sprained her ankle. That was so stupid. Yeah. The How Long Does It Take Larry to Decide If He's Going to Go Back to Save His Hurt Wife or Not award. Jeez, Larry.
He like goes back and forth and like,
yeah, he could not make up his freaking mind.
Yeah.
If anything, that was awesome, and they should have kept it, and I'm glad they did. Right. And then finally, the Joan Collins Is Only Allowed to Play Horrible People award goes to Joan Collins. She doesn't play anybody nice ever. was she nice in the Star Trek thing? I think she maybe was. I don't know how that
nice
went.
Enough.
Don't remember what Kirk said about that. Speaking of Star Trek, great, great Star Trek connection sent to us by Daryl Skeels. This one is awesome. Robert Pine, he played Larry Graham.
Oh, really?
Voyager. He played Ambassador Lyra in the Chute. And then on Enterprise, he played Captain Taven in Fusion. And his son is Chris Pine.
Yep.
Yeah. Who plays James T. Kirk in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek reboot. I had no idea they were related.
Wow.
Right. Interesting.
He is a hell of a lot better looking than his dad.
Oh, Chris Pine is just, oh, wow. When they cast him
for Kirk. Yeah.
What a perfect role.
It really is. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. He's great. I really liked him in Unstoppable, the final Tony Scott film as well. You guys should see it. It's good.
All right.
Robert Lansing is Dan Stokely is the character in TOS. He played Gary Seven in Assignment Earth. And then Joan Collins, of course, was in TOS, played Edith Keeler in The City on the Edge of Forever, or the other title, which is Here We Are Walking in Mayberry. All right. Because then they walk past. Well, that's a proven thing.
Like it looks so much like.
It's not just look like. It is. That's the actual set. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like they walk past the guy's barbershop.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Floyd.
Floyd, thank you.
Oh, hey, Joan Collins. Oh, I can buy my window, Andy.
Oh, my gosh. Ask your great aunt.
Name Aunt B.
Let's get to our Twitter post. This is where in 140 characters or less, you guys sum up the film. Let's start with Randy.
Empire of the Ants, in a film completely filled with the most predictable moves imaginable at every conceivable turn, not a single person comes up with a can of bug spray? Not even once? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, what the hell, man? Who needs a flare if you had a big can of Raid in your pants?
Was there never one can of bug spray in this movie?
Yep, not one. Missed opportunity. Also, Dunaway.
Empire of the Ants. This movie made me feel like Larry dropped by my house and groped me on the couch. Get off, Larry! Get off!
It was an uncomfortable scene. Yeah. I didn't like watching that.
No. Like rape.
So did Larry get off?
No,
no, not after that need of the... My scrot.
My scrot.
Let's see. Then Brian Abbott.
Empire of the Ants. Ants climb on some glass that's been held too close to the camera and scare some really stupid people.
Brilliant. That's the whole movie. People don't have to see it now. Nice job.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I learned while you tried to decide for 3 minutes if you're going to go back for your wife or not. When you want to fake that your land has basic services, just stick PVC pipe in the ground.
Right.
Mercury makes ants really big. When ants are really big, they all sound like really loud dial-up internet connections. And finally, overt sexism was alive and well in 1977. And that's what I learned from this film. Let's get to an email from Jeff Eck. Jeff Eck, rearing the ugly head of the wet-hot American summer crowd once again. Yeah. Dear FilmSack crew, I do not listen to the show. Or at least I didn't.
What?
He says, or at least I didn't. Not until I saw that you did Wet Hot American Summer.
I
can say I was disappointed with you.
You just lost yourself a non-listener.
A non-listener. I was disappointed with what you thought about it, but obviously you are entitled to your opinion. I'm not sure I will listen to another episode, mainly because I have never heard of most of the movies you sack. I feel that it is unfair to give up because I disagree with one movie. So I pitch this to you. Amazon Women on the Moon. Mm-hmm. As of the time I'm writing this, it is available on Hulu. What?
Wait, you just pitched a film I've never heard of?
You've never heard of that? Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. Never seen it, but heard of it.
This is a show where we've recently done Karate Kid and Wild Wild
Breakfast
West.
Club.
And
he's, I see what you're saying. He's talking about, because on a scale, this is as obscure as anything is that we what? That we sack on the show. And his complaint is that I don't know if I'll listen anymore because I don't know any of the movies you sack. But hey, I might if you do this one that one's heard of.
In the last year, we sacked Dragnet and Tango and Cash and Highlander and The Expendables and Stripes and Die Hard and Last Action Hero. What the? Lethal Weapon.
It's a little bit weird. It's a little bit weird. But he says this. Summary. This clip show. Oh, this is a clip show meant to resemble watching a terrible late night movie. The main movie gets broken up, changed. What? Changing the channel with skits and infomercials. What is this? I don't want to watch that.
Is that a? Did you get a spam? Is that?
I don't know what that is. Anyway, your sack of this movie will either net you a new subscriber or not. Warning: boobs. I can recall two scenes, two extended boobs on screen. Yeah, like that's ever stopped Ibbot.
I don't want to see extended boobs on screen.
Extended boobs. Oh my dear lord, they're extended boobs.
You better tuck those in. Thank you for all the other shows you do. I guess this is one too, Jeff. Man, Jeff's really on a stick. He's got a little stick here on his shoulder.
I always wonder if at the end of every episode, like right before the Frog Pants production bumper, if we should have a little disclaimer that just explains the show. Explains it's four guys that have known each other for a while, have a lot of the same tastes, want to talk about a movie, want to watch something that maybe they haven't seen in a while, maybe none of them have seen some of them. Like, just this little, like this little explanation. Like,
I think it's obvious to
Sam
most.
Sam stepped into the quantum machine and vanished. He awoke to find himself in some of the, you know, kind of like a setup like that. Like,
yeah. But just, I think it's a rarity for anyone not to know what the hell we're doing. This is, I think Jeff is kind of off on an island here.
Like,
a little
bit. It's not a critical review show by any stretch.
No.
You know,
but that Wet Hot American Summer really brought out a weird thing. It's a weird thing, dude. Mm-hmm. Totally unexpected, first of all, especially we're all fans of the state. That wasn't the problem.
Right.
Yeah. They're not out of our generation. I watched The State when I was 25 or whatever.
Religiously.
I just named
a bunch of movies that prove it's not a crappy movie of the week show.
No.
And if you got crappy enough, you just have no listeners. So that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
like,
I don't get it. It's wet, hot, like American to, weird is what this
I
is.
I would like to issue a correction. I said Bill Maher was in Amazon Women on the Moon. No, he was in Cannibal Women in the Avocado Jungle of Death.
Oh, there you go.
Obviously, I just don't want to get into letters.
This is what I'm saying. Like there's too many films with a very, very similar name for me to know whether we're talking about one I've seen or heard of.
Yeah. The Swamp Thing ladies in that Bill Maher thing.
Yeah. Adrienne Barbeau.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shannon Tweed, Mrs. Kiss.
That's back in the day when she was hot.
Yeah.
Now Gene she's. Simmons, that's you know, Gene Simmons Can looks you... like a. He looks like a turtle that tried on some hair.
Nice. I like that description.
Can you think of a way to anticipate the Wet Hot American Summer effect?
I didn't know. I can't either. Maybe we did it today. Maybe we didn't. We'll never know because honestly, no idea. No idea. And it's not even that. Like the vitriol and troll, I'm not calling you a troll, but I'm saying generally, the trollisms that sprung from that film, it's unbelievable to me. I still don't know where it came from. It's the weirdest thing.
In the film sack history, the only thing I know to compare it to is a few people's reaction to my little thing we did with Troll 2.
Oh, right.
Where I didn't like the movie, so I decided to take that to the farthest of all extremes.
Right.
And you guys all riffed off of that.
Yeah, and we all liked it for the most part, and you took the other road, and people gave you kind of a hard time, but nothing on the scale of this.
Like, right.
This is just weird. And it wasn't even universally panned by us. We had moments of whatever, but what makes this movie... I mean, everyone acted like they wrote it, directed it, and their entire life savings depends on people liking it.
Right. Right,
really weird, but
dude, the just to kind of keep harping on Amazon Women on the Moon,
right.
Arsenio Hall, Phil Hartman, Michelle Pfeiffer, Griffin Dunn, Joey Pants, Joe Pantoliano, Bryan Cranston,
yep,
David Alan Grier,
yep. If Cranston's not bald and making blue meth, I don't care.
Steve Guttenberg, why are we watching?
We haven't seen a Guttenberg movie.
Robert Picardo.
Because Jeff Eck wants us to see it now. I would just want to place the small argument that it's possible that what he's describing here, what Ibbot just described to me, sounds a lot like the same level of farce and humor that maybe Wet Hot American Summer aimed for.
Yes.
I could be wrong, but that's the vibe I'm getting.
You haven't seen it.
No.
Has anybody besides me seen Amazon Women on the Moon?
I've never seen it. I've heard of it, never seen it.
It's a collection of short skits. It's like a Saturday Night Live, a 2-hour Saturday Night Live.
And what is Wet Hot American Summer? A collection of short skits.
Yeah, but those all have something. Those all take place.
Yeah, it's a cohesive satire.
Well, you could say that.
This is Tales from the Crypt, comedy edition, where the different segments in the film don't have anything to do with each other other than their.
Oh, that's what he's trying to explain here. This broken up, changing the channel, skits and infomercials. I see what he's saying.
Yes. Well, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that, I mean, we're into whatever, but don't, I mean, yeah. It's just this weird, okay, now if you guys like that, anyway. You might have got a listener. Because otherwise. You know,
we're touching on one of the things I find so fascinating about film criticism. And again, this is not what we're here for. We're not here for film criticism, but
not really.
And it's this thing that I've been noticing for a long time. And that is, if on a 10 scale, you think that something is a 6 and the next guy thinks that something is an 8, he for some reason thinks you hate the movie. You know? Mm-hmm. And I've never really understood that. And I get that there's some people for whom Wet Hot American Summer is a 10. For me, it's like a 4. And so they're kind of justified in saying I hate the movie. But that inability to get degree really comes full force with comedies and things that came along when you were of a certain age.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, all of that is true. I just think there's a weird sociological experiment going on behind the scenes with Wet Hot American Summer that makes no sense to me. It's almost like there's a faction of people who have no time for anything else unless you like that movie. And if you don't, then
really,
talk
I would
to the
really,
hand.
Really, I want to get Janine Garofalo on this show. We need to ask her.
Yeah, let's get that.
I just want to talk to her for 15 minutes. And so I will bet you that she will agree with us that it's flying above its, you know, maximum rated altitude.
I think that she wouldn't dare because I think that she's seen she's seen what happens. She knows what's going on. These are like Twilight fans. There's nothing you can do. Oh man, I'm going to take shit for that. I just said they're like Twilight fans, didn't I? Damn it.
No, you're in Utah. You're too close to it. It's my trust throat.
Don't bring me into this.
Brian says
my scrot.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, for providing some fun entertainment at the end of one of the worst movies
Actually,
we've ever heard of.
Opened up some good discussion. I appreciate that he brought.
I
that
do too.
Up.
And your emails are fine. I don't send hateful weirdo ones because we get. I've had those only. The only time we've ever gotten that kind of email was for this for Wet Hot. I don't get why, but whatever. Don't bother with those. But Jeff is a reasonable dude and wants to talk. And I still don't get why that movie's it's a 1-0 proposition. It's either great or it's not. I don't get that. But
it goes to what you were saying.
Yeah,
call something a 4, a 5, or a 6, and you're not saying that it's the worst movie of all time.
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, and on that note, let's you know what? For fun, I'm going to play Fletcher quotes right now. Quotes.
Scrotes.
I'm going to play Fletcher Scrotes right now. Here is the first one.
Oh, my God. They're hurting us like cattle.
There's your quote. Right. Fletcher did it. And then this one.
Hey, don't shoot. We're peaceful. Honest to God, all right?
All right.
We just wanted to die. Old.
Like old people.
Is not eat by this. Wrong?
That's terrific.
All right, let's move on. Let's get out of here. Thank you guys for doing that. If you want to send your own emails to us, you can. Filmsack@gmail.com. Our next film is Rocky V, so watch for that. I don't know who the nemesis is. I have no idea.
That's the one where he's training Tommy Gunn.
Is this where he fights a robot?
No, this is where he's training his son, Tommy Gunn.
Is this the one where he gets taken to an alien planet? They make him fight for them?
Yes, he knows what I want.
We're not going to get what I want, are we?
No.
Damn it. It's the natural shark to jump for Rocky.
Yeah.
Is to go from Dolph Lundgren to something worse.
Was there a movie between Rocky V and the one called Rocky Balboa, or is that the last one?
No, not the last one.
That's correct.
There is no 6, right?
Right. No, 6 is Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa is good. Mm-hmm. Just a genuinely good movie that almost forgets the last 3 were just shit. But
right.
Yeah, I recommend seeing that if you get a chance. It's got heroes. What's that? Not Pilecki. Whatever his name is. The hero's kid is in it. He plays his son. What's his name?
Again.
Anyway, the one that had powers. If you, he was rogue,
right?
In that show, you know, touch somebody, got their powers. That guy.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, that was him.
Cameras.
I hate that show. Anyway, so yes, Rocky V coming up next week. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, visit the site, filmsack.com. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at filmsack and leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that. If you want more great shows just like this, try frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. Also known as
Muskroat.
We'll see you next time.
Aww.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.